If you don't believe that are in it, close it up, move away somewhere, go to some other church or whatever, or get alone with God and say, God, make me to know and believe what's in this Bible. I used to be one of these. Now, the original Greek said this, original Hebrew said this. And what I wanted people to think of me was I was smarter than they are. And I was going to come up. I know these guys' heart. I was just like them. They want you to think that you wouldn't get it from God if you didn't get it from them. That was me. I would look at my Strong's Concordance. I'm a real Greek scholar. I have to look in a dictionary. I look in a Strong's Concordance, find some way off the wall translation of what that word might have meant, and develop a sermon based on that. And my wife would say, would you cut that stuff out? Well, no. I went to Bible college. Got a B+ in Greek. And God chastised me. And God, I was reading Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 one day. The verse says, and God spake all these words saying, the Holy Ghost said, Mike, do you believe that? And I knew exactly what he was getting at. Did I believe that everything that I was going to read in my King James Bible came out of the mouth of Almighty God? Was I going to believe what I read in my Bible and not go to the Greek and Hebrew to try to change what it said? And I said, God, you got me. From now on, whatever word is in here, that word is supposed to be there, and I'm going to believe what you said. Amen. When you do that, you'll have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. You will. You'll read the Bible and go, look at that! I've read that a million times. I didn't know what that is. Woo! You'll just shout, all right? So there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. Did you know the only time the word champion's in your Bible is right here in 1 Samuel 17? And it refers to a giant, Goliath. Joel Osteen on his program, Discover the Champion in You. And in my mind I hear, dun, dun, dun. You know why? Because I know from Romans 7 and other places in the Bible that there is something in me that's no good thing. And they're always wanting you to discover something on the inside of you. I don't want him out. Amen. Stay in there. Amen. So anyway, a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. I want you to notice I have certain words underlined. Here we go. Get ready. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's. Do you believe your Bible? He was big, and he could take a weaver's beam, and that was his. He could throw that at you like you could throw a stick. His spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron. Think iron. There's a kingdom in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's vision, where the iron was mingled with the seed of men. You know what that is? We live in the era now. We now in this world have stepped over a line. Yes. And we are rewriting and adding to a book that Jesus said, don't add to it. They, that fourth kingdom, when you think four, think of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, will mingle themselves in the seed of men. It's a setup. I don't care if your grandma's dying of Alzheimer's. I don't care if you show up with it. Don't let them I'd rather die with my genes intact than live under God's curse. 600 shekels of iron, one bearing a shield, went before him. Look at this. There was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes. What do you see in here? Let me show it to you. 6 cubits, 600 shekels of iron, 6 fingers, 6 toes. When I say the number 6, what do you think of? Revelation 13. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Now, which is it? The number of a beast and the number of a man. So far, everybody in this room, in fact, as far as I know, everybody on the planet We all have the exact DNA that Adam bare in his loins that God gave to him, and this is separate than any other species on the planet. We did not come from stupid monkeys. We didn't come from caterpillars. We didn't come from lizards. We didn't come from fish in the sea. God wrote this book unique and different. And God said, let all the cattle gender with their kind. Every cattle or every beast after his kind. That means this right here. They are wanting to take animal DNA and put it here in human DNA. It is an abomination. Look at this beast here. Look at this Antichrist. Who is he? He's a beast, but he's a man. Those are, in my mind, they are contradictory. And let me explain. Let me just run with this for a while. Y'all are used to getting out of 1:30 anyway. Amen. Really? Yeah. Don't encourage me. Now, if I have to break off and eat a protein bar, don't think nothing of it. I got a stomach that is only about this big now. In case you've noticed, I've lost 90 some odd pounds since last time I was here. Okay? I don't have diabetes anymore. Okay? But I got to eat every now and then or I'll, my blood sugar get too low. But anyway, here's where was I going with this? Beast and... Oh, watch this. There are laws that are only for human beings. Rights that are attributed to humans that are not given to animals yet. There is a difference legally between a human and a beast. Natural law declares it. Most every jurisdiction in the world has a law based upon the needs of a human versus the needs of an animal. They are different. This guy is going to muddy the pool. He is a beast and he is a man. Okay? And his number, 603 score and 6. So what do we see here? What do we see here? 6 cubits, 600 shekels, 6 fingers, 6 toes. Who is Goliath? And this is typology. Who is Goliath? Who is he? He's the giant. He's the beast. He's the Antichrist. This is typology. This is like watching a film of Bible prophecy, only it happened in the past. Now, here's my thing. If you don't believe the Bible and you don't believe this already happened, then why do you believe God about the future? Amen. The future is you want to go to heaven when you die. Amen. That's prophecy, right? If you don't believe the Bible about the past, like Jonah was in a whale's belly 3 days, the flood covered the entire landmass of the earth. If you don't believe the Bible about the past, why believe it about the future? Because God's telling you that what has been written in the past is telling the future. It's going to give you insight. So here is a picture of the beast going to war, and I mean, you just study this whole thing out. Now, you study 1 Samuel 17, you'll see it everywhere in there. By the way, Genesis 6 tells you where the giant came from. Sons of God, daughters of men. Can I break off and get conspiracy theory on you for a minute? I study symbols. I'm getting pretty good at learning them and knowing them. Symbols are a language of their own. They want to hide what a symbol really means. If you'll read the Bible will tell you what all these symbols mean. The square and the compass. Did you know they are opposites? One points up and one points down. Do you know that according to all the Masonic authorities, the one pointing up represents the heavenly realm, and the one pointing down represents the earthly realm. Heaven merging with earth. Or let's say the spiritual realm merging with the human realm. The sons of God and the daughters of men. You see it? Yeah. By the way, God said they're separate, didn't he? Amen. Yeah. You hear all these churches? Oh, we're going to have the glory crowd come down and we're going to bring heaven down to earth. We're going to, earth and heaven are going to collide. I've seen things like that. I don't want to be a part of that. Okay? That's what these symbols represent. That's what they stand for. So, we have Genesis 6, the number 6, telling us, sons of God, daughters of men. Goliath has all these sixes all over him. Who does he represent? He represents the beast. Watch this. Watch this. Revelation 13, John has seized the beast, and he says, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. So, he's a conglomerate beast. Leopard, bear and a lion. What did David say concerning Goliath? The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. What is he saying? Goliath in this story, what is he saying to you? Goliath in this story is the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who goes to war against the saints. And by the way, even though he physically is not here on this earth yet, John said that his spirit is already working. Do you believe that? Because one day you woke up last week, and there was a spirit all over you. It was a heavy spirit. See, the Bible calls him the man of sin for a reason. And his spirit was already at work against you to get you, because one of your weaknesses might be lust of the flesh. Or one of your weaknesses might be the lust of the eyes. Or what's worse, one of your weaknesses might be the pride of life. You see, here's how I got it figured. God can handle people who have lust in their flesh, because that encompasses most people I know. And God can handle someone who has lust of the eyes. Because while you may be good at keeping 9 commandments, try keeping number 10. Thou shalt not covet. Try not lusting after. Try not wanting something that somebody else has. Try that for a week. Let me know how it works. But God can work with these two here. But this third one. See, God can deal with someone who's wicked in their flesh. Has he not dealt with you? Say amen. Amen. But someone who's proud. You know what I've run into? Proud people, you can't tell them they're too proud. They're too proud to hear it. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. So you might be dealing, the man of sin, the son of perdition, might have showed up at your house this week and began to work on you, or let's say, began to work in your marriage, or began to work. You saw the man of sin working in your children. Tell you what, that hurts. And I've told the devil a million times, you climb on me, you stay away from my wife and kids. And I meant it. Because it hurts when you see the kids going off, doing things, being part of things they shouldn't be. And I meant it.
That's a giant. Because
it hurts.
Who's David?
When you see the kids.
Well, he carries the shepherd's bag. What does that tell you? The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. Somebody say amen. Who is David standing here? Here's David. Jesus is of the seed of David. In fact, Ezekiel 37 calls Jesus David. Jesus, as David, is going to sit on the throne of David. David is standing here, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Goliath, 6 cubits tall. What does that work out to? About 9-10 feet, something like that? He's a big old rascal. He's mean. He's strong. He is invincible. He is defying. Listen to me. He is defying everybody in this church. And no one is able to stand against him. And he knows it. He says, give me a man. Come on. You bring him on. I'll fight him. I'll whoop him. And everybody in the church house was sitting and going. I tried to stop cursing. I just get so mad I can't stop. I know who you people are. I love you. But I know who you are. You're just like me. You got things that if you could have stopped, you would have already. If you could have quit, you'd have quit it. Who in here ever gave up cigarettes? Finally walked away from them, been gone 20 years. Raise your hand. Who took those away from you? God did. You didn't do it. You can't do it. Should I start asking about some other things?
No.
Oh! Now you know why I was shaking. You can't do it. Notice that nobody, and I mean nobody, stood against Goliath. They were all afraid. David, when you read about David, I like David. David was Christ. David said, I ain't scared of this turkey. Saul said, well, you better take my armor. I ain't never wore that. Get that stuff away from me. Give me 5 stones. Okay? He's got a sling. He said, I killed a lion and bear. Did you know that? I just went, zing, got him. David ran after an old lion, grabbed him by the beard, pulled a lamb. That was you. You were the lamb. You were in the jaws of a lion when Jesus came and got you. I took him out there, and he said, I'll beat him. Don't you come around my sheep no more. You know, I think that lion told the other lions, stay away from David. See, smell that? That's David. Don't go around him ever again. And David said, he is like the lion and the bear. Listen, there was one who stood up for you against the man of sin in your life. There was one who stood up for you when nobody else could. You don't need self-help. Amen. By the way, he took the stone. Jesus is the living stone. By the way, here's a stone right here. Here's the living stone. This is the stone that the builders of the church down the street rejected. Amen. Here is, did you know that this is a stone? It's a crystal. And did you know, see how it turns like this? See how it turns? There's a design in here. And between this spot right here and its corresponding spot right here, one turn, there's 10 rungs in here. How many commandments are there? What did God write the 10 commandments in? Even the Gentiles know that it's wrong to commit adultery. Listen, I will keep you till 1:30. He got it. Where did the Philistine get it in? Huh? Did I? Here we go. Can't depend on it. I got you. Are we back? We'll get there in a minute. Anyway, slung it, stuck it in his where? Did you know Revelation chapter 13, John said, I saw the heads as it were wounded to death. Who's Goliath? He's the beast. And there's only one that can stand against him. The world wondered after the beast. God shall wound the head of the enemies. The hairy scalp of such a one is going on still in his trespasses. God wounds the head of his enemies. And Goliath is one of those enemies. That's why that stone hit him right here. And David, I like David. David's standing there going, Goliath, you don't bother me. You say you're going to come after me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take thine head from my shoulders this day. That's attitude, amen? David's not scared. He's not a fear. He is not. He's going to stand there. He knows he's going to do it. And I like what Goliath did. When Goliath finally woke up and the stone hit his head, the Bible says he fell on his face to the earth. Amen. Right before David. Because every knee shall bow. Yep. Amen. Amen. Oh, I like this. Now watch this. Mark chapter 15. You don't see it on the screen yet? Let me do this. And let me try this once again here. Yes! They took a crown of thorns, a crown, oh, see that's a symbol. Crown denotes a king. And when it's something is on your head, that means it rules over you. Are you listening to this? The thorns on the head, thorn was the curse of sin. You have sin reigning over you in your flesh. They put it on his head. And then they beat it on his head. They smote him on the head with the reed. They put a wound on our Savior's head. Why? Why is it that Moses put a serpent on a pole and they said, now look at that and you'll live. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent. What was that? What was Jesus doing? Because he's got the crown, right? And he's got the wounds. And he's got, they stripped him naked, and then they crucified him on a cross. What is the symbolism of it? Colossians chapter 2 says, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you 70% of your trespasses. And if you say 40 Hail Marys, or if you tithe money, it's not what it says. Don't go to those churches. Having he forgave you of all trespasses. What about the one you're going to do tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock? And if you're like me, God's standing there with a rod waiting for 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon to show up. You're my son. Amen. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know what that is? That's the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. That's why all of those symbols of Jesus on the cross matter. He was taking our enemies on himself when he died, including the one who has a wound in his head, the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the giant that you can't beat. How did he beat him? In his death. He took him on himself and killed him. How did Samson defeat more of his enemies in his death than he did in his life? Samson's a type of Jesus. Isn't that typology thing neat? All the doctrines are there. You just go search them out. Okay? Now watch this. This is going to get good. Now we have Sihon and Og. Those two men were giants. We have Sihon, the king of the Amorites. We have Joshua chapter 12, Og, the king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants. Now I've got it, and the Bible doesn't explicitly, line upon line, say this. But we know that when the spies went into Canaan land, they spied out the land, and they said, the giants are everywhere. So my assumption is that all of the kings that Moses and Joshua destroyed as they went into Canaan land, that all of those were giants. Now, it doesn't say that, so I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Okay? But we know that all of the kings that stood in Canaan land were standing in the way of God's people moving in. Are you listening to that? So,
I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snake shot! I hate him! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell, high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker right here in the padded cell. Here at Area 52, Pastor Mike here, and I'm online and I'm live with you. And had a little problem with the sermon audio feed. I think that it's working now. I think. In fact, let me do this. Here we go. In case y'all don't know this, there is an official Bethel Church app. Actually, there's like twain of them. And I have it on my iPhone here. I'm going to hit the Bethel Church app. And let's see if we can't pull this bad boy broadcast up here. Oh, looky there. It's working. That's me. Anyway,
So we are coming to you live from Top Secret Broadcasting Research Facility here at Area 52, right next to Area 51, in a top secret place known only to our local post office at 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri. Good to be with you today. We're going to pick back up on where we left off on Thursday, talking about alien, and that's not my word. That is the wording of those who have developed this new synthetic or puffetic DNA. Synthetic DNA. It's sort of like synthetic Bibles, synthetic churches, synthetic preaching, synthetic Bible studies. It's what it is. It's man-made. It was carved and manipulated by the hands of man, and it's junk is what it is. The whole purpose of synthetic DNA is like the purpose of everything that they're doing with DNA, including, got another article here about the pig men. Remember the squealers? Remember the pig men? And this is real science. This is not some like crazy tabloid, you know, National Enquirer stuff. Bionews.org.uk says scientists for the first time have grown embryos that contain a combination of pig and human stem cells in a step toward one day growing transplantable organs, a study said. However, the research remains at a very early stage and proved more difficult than expected. The researchers reported in the peer-reviewed journal Cell. There's actually a magazine. I've seen a copy of it called Cell. Juan Carlos Izpizua Belmonte. He's the lead investigator. He said, "This is an important first step." He's a professor at Salk Institute of Biological Studies Gene Expression Laboratory. "The ultimate goal is to grow functional and transplantable tissue or organs, but we are far away from that," he said. Scientists implanted adult human stem cells. Think about it. Stem cells are... Let me see if I can explain this in simple pig Latin. Stem cells are the cells that have the potential to become just about anything. When you are or were conceived, there was one cell. It was a joining together of male, 23 chromosomes from your father, 23 chromosomes from your mother, and everything was joined together. See, I'm not going to explain the birds and bees part, but anyway, it was all written together. You have this book called your DNA. David said in Psalm 139, "In thy book all my members were written." So every member of your body was written out. But in that one cell contained the code for every other cell that your body now has in it. I mean, just think about how amazing that is. And when that first cell divided, then there's two, and they're exactly identical to one another. Then there's four, because those two both divided. Now there's four, now there's eight, now there's 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, and so on. And for some reason, computer memory is like that same way. But anyway, you now have all of these cells, and they are still identical. They're exactly alike. They are stem cells, because at some point, a new cell that is formed is a little bit different than the parent cell that formed it, because now this cell has a different task to perform. It has a different function in the body. It's called cell differentiation. it got its DNA from the parent cells and then from mom and dad. But now it's going to take a very specialized portion of that DNA and turn into a heart or a liver or blood or bones or fingers or anything like that. That's what it's going to turn into. And so they're taking adult stem cells, the cells of an adult human that have not turned into everything else or something else. They have the potential to do it. They're taking the human stem cells with the entire DNA package in it and it's not transplanting. It would be more like transmorphing it into an already partially developed pig embryo. So that this pig now has not just a specialized cell, it has the entire genome of a human adult, human person. Everything that God wrote for that person now is contained in a pig. This is bizarre. This is, to me, it's grotesquery at its very worst. Taking a human, an already living human being, taking what is their essence, their, I got a little theory. It's not some big thing that you and I are going to get in a fist fight over out in the parking lot after church one Sunday. By the way, I've known where that's happened before. But I think that the human soul, and hence the human spirit, is contained in that human's DNA. Where do I get that from? Well, I get it from the idea that your Bible, your inerrant, inspired Word of God, is the very Spirit of God. Jesus himself said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Holy Spirit does not just inspire us and give us daily bread from God just by going, with nothing in it. This, and I don't know if you've ever just pondered this. Words are formed solely from the air that we breathe. The air comes out of our lungs. It passes through our vocal cords, which causes them to vibrate at certain tones, certain frequencies. That same air then carrying that sound, then that sound is further shaped by the stoppage or the framing of our lips and our tongue and our teeth together. See, if I close my lips, you can't understand what I'm saying. So the sound, the air, is going through the vocal cords, vibrating, making sound. That sound is shaped by my lips, by my teeth, by my tongue, by the shape of my mouth, by my, if I do this. Sometimes some people talk right out their nose, so it's got a nasally sound to it. Sometimes you shape it by the back of your throat, like, okay? The Dutch do that in some of their words. Jews do that. Some people roll their tongue. My wife cannot roll her tongue. She cannot. Honey, roll your tongue. She'll go, rrr. She can't do it. But you get what I'm saying. If we say the Spirit of God, we are implying the Word of God, and vice versa. The Word of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Word of God. The Spirit of God is contained in the Word of God. You want a big dose of the Holy Ghost one day? Get your Bible out and read it. You'll get more Holy Ghost in one day than you can handle. So, and I just, you know, think about these things. I think man's spirit, the spirit of man, is in his DNA. Or is his DNA. And now they have taken that and put it into... That's what they did. They terminated the embryos before any human animal mixture. I think, yeah, they did it with like a tray of embryos that they had. But you got to understand, these people, for the most part, these scientists are godless. They do not, God is not in their thoughts. They do not retain God in their mind. They don't sit and think about, I wonder if God wants me to do this. They don't do that. They, in some cases, think they are God. And so they never ask God the question, God, can I mix human DNA with pig DNA? Is that okay? Can I do that? They don't do that. So their ethics and their morals are not the same as ours. I've heard some of these transhumanists talk. These people that promote transhumanism and promote the idea that we have to evolve. We must evolve. We need to evolve. And they now believe that it is immoral. Once they have figured out a way to change DNA, and let's say that they can cure some disease in some group of people somewhere, or some child, or some older adult, or whatever. I've heard them talk. They believe that in their mind it is immoral and unethical. Once they know how to do this, it's unethical to use that knowledge and put it to use for the benefit of mankind. This is how they think. They don't, since God is not in their thoughts, they don't think Bible. They don't think, well, you know, it really is. I mean, it's not our book, DNA. It's not our book. We didn't write it, so we really don't have the right to rewrite it or take something out or put something. They don't think that way. And they think you're nuts for thinking that way. You puny humans standing. You can't handle the truth. That's how they perceive people like you and I. Don't you understand that we're trying to help you? You poor, pathetic little children, you. We're trying to save your life and you're standing in the way of science. This is their mentality. It's like a lot of politicians. And especially liberals, but I wouldn't exclude conservatives. They think that we are all the little children that cannot govern ourselves, that cannot do for ourselves. We're helpless. We need these people to take over every part of our lives and make us put helmets on when we go out to get the mail, for crying out loud. We have to put safety glasses on to fry chicken. They think that we can't think for ourselves, do for ourselves, govern ourselves, make up our own mind. And so government will make up our minds for us and will do for us everything that needs to be done. These are the same people that are telling you, what? What pig embryos with human DNA in it? We throw those. Didn't we throw those? I told you to throw those away. Did you throw them away?
Yeah, I threw them away.
See, we threw them away. We don't have pigs with human DNA in them out in the back in the secret lab. We don't have that. We don't know what you're talking about. You've been watching Mike Hoggard, haven't you? We don't do that stuff. These people are doing it. You got to understand, it's happening. They're not as ethical as the news articles appear. Violation of God's word. Violation of God telling man, don't do this. This is bad. Don't do it. Don't go down that road.
I wonder what's down that road. Don't do it. Something caught my eye here. Hang on here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Previous research has produced combinations of rats and mice, which are far more closely related. Bruce Whitelaw, professor of animal biotechnology at the University of Edinburgh, who was not involved in the study, described it, quote, as exciting, and it paves the way for significant advances, unquote. In this study, the authors follow existing legal and ethical guidelines, allowing the embryos to develop to the maximum time allowed. It is important that any further research is conducted with full transparency so as to allow public scrutiny and debate. And you don't believe this. Do not believe this. It's a front. It's a smoke screen. It's a magician saying, watch this hand while he's doing stuff with this hand. That's what that is. You got to understand that somebody somewhere in some lab has all they have ongoing experimentation with human animal chimeras, human animal conglomerations, even bringing to birth some sort of chimera type beast that has a combination of human animal DNA, all of which are an abomination. Three parent baby born to infertile couple in world's first. This came out January the 18th. A three parent in vitro fertilization technique has been used for the first time to allow an infertile couple to have a baby. The successful birth announced this week by doctors in Ukraine potentially offers hope for thousands of British couples who are struggling to conceive. It's like the opening of a new era, said Dr. Valerie Zekin of the Nadia Clinic. Nadia. That reminds me of a crush that I had way back in 1976. I, being 10 years old, had a crush on an older woman. Her name was Nadia. Her real name was Nadia Comaneci. Being supervised and trained by the world-renowned Bella Caroli, went on to get the very first perfect 10 score in the 1976 Summer Olympic Games. Nadia Comaneci, as some of you may well know, went on. She never paid much attention to me. She did not have the same affection for me as I had for her, being 10 years old. So she went on to find true love somewhere else. Rumor has it that she married into British higher society. Yes, British high society. She married an Earl of Great Britain. The fifth Earl of, this is a real Earl, Earl of Sandwich. Her new name? Nadia Comaneci Sandwich. I kill me. All right. Let's I got some other articles here, but I'm gonna try to wait. I gotta have something to talk about Thursday. Good grief. I wanna show you something today I was kind of happy about. I'm all the times, God, show me something. God, give me something new, something's gonna bless me. And you read God's word and you get blessings out of it. You get food, you get nourishment from it. And I can't remember what it was. You know, it's always a trail of thoughts. you think this, and then you think that, and you think that, and you get down the trail, and you're going, oh, look at that, I like that, that's pretty cool. And I can't remember what was taking me on the trail of thoughts, but I was thinking about the difference between RNA and DNA. Let me put a graphic up on the screen here. Let me see if I can, let's see here, which button do I want to push? Here we go. Let's try this one. There we go. The difference between DNA and RNA. It's a visible difference. DNA is a double helix, which means that it has two strands. They are joined together by four bases: adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. And we know the rules. You've heard me talk about this before, and I'm still doing the study called The Book of Life in the Watchman broadcast. And adenine is always only paired with thymine. In other words, let's see. Here's the rules here. They actually have it color-coded for you. So if you look at my mouse here, this right here in blue would be thymine. So the rule is that it can only be adenine here. One is a purine, one is a pyrimidine. Now, I'm still studying on that one, okay? I'm still wanting to know what all the differences is between this, because my thinking is that everything about this is biblical. Everything about the relationship between adenine and thymine is in the Bible. Why is it that RNA is different from DNA? Ribonucleic acid. Here is DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. In other words, when it's DNA, there's an oxygen atom not present there. Deoxyribonucleic acid versus ribonucleic acid. And I want to know why. I want to know why it makes it different, why that particular difference. I just ask God questions. God said, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I encourage people, if you email me and I either don't see the email or I don't have time to respond to everybody's email, don't take it personally. Please don't take it personally. And especially if you are on Facebook. I very rarely get on Facebook. Very rarely, because when I do, I usually create some sort of controversy. I usually get kind of bent out of shape over what some people say. And so if you message me on Facebook, I wouldn't count on me getting right back to you anytime real soon. And again, don't take it personally. It's just that you got to understand how limited my time is. My first priority in my life and my ministry is to study. That's my first priority. My second one is to minister in like what I'm doing now through the preaching and the teaching of God's word. I have other priorities. I have a wife, I have a family, I have grandchildren, I have a church to take care of, a local congregation to take care of. These people need their pastor. And so I always tell them, Bethel people, you're first. And again, don't take that personally. But I can't read every email. I can't answer every one of them, all right? So again, don't take it personally. And I have no idea why I brought that up. But anyway, the difference between DNA and RNA. How is it that they are unique? How is it different? You've heard me talk about the double strand would represent the two parts to your Bible, Old and New Testament together, joined by these four, adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine, the four bases, the four, let's see here, what do they call them? There are several things they call them. These are the bases, the base pairs. I'm just drawing a blank here on some of the things I've studied, and I continually wanting to learn more about it. Adenine, of course, only mating with thymine. Guanine only mating with cytosine. And when you have a combination, see where my mouse is right here. When you have a combination of any of these three bases, like right here is thymine, right here would be cytosine, right here would be guanine. Blue, yellow, and green. Whenever you have that together, three of these bases together will make a letter or an amino acid, which are the letters of the words of the book of DNA. That's what amino acids are. It's just like the letters of an alphabet. So let's say that thymine, cytosine, and guanine would make the letter in, it's a Hebrew alphabet because it's 22 amino acids, 22 letters. So it'd be like, let's say this would be Gimel. And then three more would be Daleth. And then three more would be Aleph. All right? And whatever combination is here, that's the letters that it spells out. And those letters together form the genetic structure. It tells the RNA polymerase, you're going to make this particular protein today. You're going to make, you know, like 4 quarts of it, because the body needs a lot of this protein today. We need to put together, and we need to fold it a certain way. Once you get it folded a certain way, then we're going to put it into use, all right? And this is the genetic code not only spells out the recipe for what ingredients need to be made, but it also spells out, once the ingredients are made, what to do with them. And that's what you have in your genetic code. And if all of these bases are not in a correct order, your body will not make, not only will it not make the necessary proteins and fold them a certain way and put them to use a certain way, but it is possible that it could make poison in your own body. Your body has the ingredients to poison itself if the DNA is not correctly read and correctly written. There are enzymes that go up and down your DNA and examine it to make sure that it's all in order. There are enzymes that read your DNA and do nothing but, if it finds an error, it corrects it. It purifies it. Just like Psalm 12. The words of the Lord, think of your DNA now, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. I read this morning, there's enzymes that scan your DNA looking for errors, and when it finds an error, it corrects it. How does it know this? Well, it knows that if it's thymine here, it must be adenine here. That's the only thing that'll work there. So if it's thymine here, it must be adenine here. If it's cytosine here, it must be guanine here. It knows the rules. And if by chance there was some error made, it'll correct the error. It'll purify itself. Your body has a limited ability to do that. Does not have a total, absolute ability to do that. Hence, we live in a corrupt, sinful world. And you and I are going to die. There is any way around it, we're going to die. Okay? So anyway. But then you have RNA. RNA has a use. It has a purpose. When the DNA needs to be read or the DNA needs to be copied to put into a new cell. I explained this in this week's Watchman broadcast, The Book of Life, Part 4. The unwinding process takes place. It's straightened out. It makes the crooked thing straight. That's topoisomerase. Is a little mechanism that takes and unwinds the DNA and straightens it out like a ladder. Once it does that, then the hydrogen bonds are broken and it is rightly divided, just like rightly dividing the word of truth. And one part of it goes to a new cell, and the new cell naturally knows what to do with it because of the rules of the base pairs. It knows if it's adenine here, must be, we got to put thymine over here, guys. That's A. No, put that cytosine down.
No, we got adenine here. Cytosine cannot go with adenine. What are you, nuts? Yeah, give me that thymine there. So they put thymine up here, okay? So anyway, but here was my question. And I only have a partial answer today. Notice that in DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, which represents the Old New Testament, joined by the four base pairs, which is joined by the four Gospels, Jesus Christ is what brings the two together. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And I've been telling you that out of these four, thymine's different. It's has a uniqueness to it that's not like the other three. Now consider this. Let me switch over here. Consider this in your Bible. You've heard me talk about how the gospel stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, out of those four, John is significantly different than the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke follow the same, pretty much same storyline, sort of like the same outline. A lot of the things that Jesus said is very similar throughout the three. They're not exactly identical, which is great because you're getting a complete picture amongst all of the Gospels rather than just depending on one being an exact duplicate copy of the other. John is unique in that if, you know, Matthew talks about the birth of Christ, Luke talks about the birth of Christ, Mark doesn't. John takes a completely different approach. He does not really talk about Jesus and being born of a virgin and Bethlehem and the manger and so on. He goes right into, in John chapter 1, which is one of the most despised, one of the most argued with chapters in the Bible, especially among the Jehovah's Witness and or other cults who hate the Bible declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, there's just no way around that. The Word, and then it says, and the Word became flesh, or the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Think about it. Think DNA. The Word, DNA, made flesh. That's what happens. DNA makes flesh. It does. It makes this right here. Isn't it? I love that. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And see, John is unique. John comes right out of the cattle chute. Right out of, you know, the bull is sitting in the little cage there with a would-be champion sitting on his back, a rider. Guy's going to ride a bull, a wild bull. And that bull's just standing there still, not making a move. But as soon as them cowboy clowns open that gate, that bull comes right out of the chute, and he ain't playing games. He's going to get that fellow off his back. John comes right out of the chute and says, he is God. No way around it. We're going to reveal to you a mystery that has been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Do you remember that Passover lamb? Do you remember that child of promise from Abraham? Do you remember that rock that Moses smote? Do you remember those Ten Commandments, those two tables of stone? Do you remember the mighty king on the throne that destroyed all of his enemies? Do you remember the ruler of the nations who built the temple, the house of God? Do you remember all of those? What those really were was Jesus, the Word of God, who is God. He was there. You just couldn't see him there. Now he's revealed in his true form. All right? Now watch this. You're going to like this. John's different than the other three Gospels. I mean, he just... And there's many, multitude of differences there. But let me go back to this because...
Man, I had so much. I just sit. Sometimes I just come in here and I just, I'm like this. And it's, I don't have a headache. If anything, I'm going to go see a doctor next week. I'm going to talk about myself. Can I talk about myself for a minute? 10 years ago, in case you don't know, 10 years ago, I was electrocuted almost to death. In fact, I was just within moments of dying, and God rescued me from it. And it left me that week. It had jerked my muscles so bad that, I mean, I couldn't move hardly for a week. And over the course of 10 years, various problems have showed up. The first one was with my right shoulder. That's where the exit was. That's where all the current was going to and out of my body was my right shoulder here. I still have a scar here from where it touched the beam. And a few years after that episode, I had this whole right shoulder completely redone. And it still gives me problems. I mean, they fixed a lot of things, but there's still, I have a lot of pain in here. This shoulder here, there's things that don't work in this shoulder. I went to the gym one time with Lisa, and I got on a machine. I was trying to do this, and I could not push weight forward with my left arm. There's something detached here, and it won't jump back on. And I haven't had surgery on that yet to fix it. This is where part of the electricity went in my left hand, and I've had to have, there was a tendon in a sheath here that was all messed up. I couldn't even hardly move my thumb. I had to have that released. And then it was going through my knees, through my waist, my hips, out my right shoulder. And so within about 5 years, I started noticing problems in my hips, in my hip socket specifically. And now 10 years later, there are days I can just barely walk. The pain is so bad. And especially even on good days when I'm not hurting too bad, if I just walk and spend my day walking all day, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And so I told Sweetie Pie, I said, I think it's time to go see a doctor about this. But today, yesterday, Sunday, I have just been in intense pain in that area, lower back from the sacrum, where the sacrum is and right where the hip joints come in, the sockets there. And ibuprofen and Tylenol it doesn't cut it. And there's times I have no idea what I'm going to do for relief. I keep heat on it all the time. And as long as I keep heat on it, it's kind of tolerable, like right now. But anyway, so you just pray for me that, you know, I'll be able to get some kind of relief somehow, some way. All right. Anyway, I got to show you this. Okay, I'm wasted. Forgive me for talking about myself for a minute, but you just keep me in your prayers, okay? Because some days when it's really bad, I don't feel like doing this. I don't, and I hate that. Makes me angry that I can't. All right, so let me go back to this. You're gonna love this, okay? Everything about DNA is Bible. Everything is, and there's great lessons to learn here. Now, some people can show you, you know, things in nature and animals and trees. They can show you the gospel, and some people can, you know, do that with different things. I'm going to show it to you with your DNA, because you've got DNA. I got DNA. We all got DNA. Let's all be the DNA. All right. RNA is a single strand of deoxyribonucleic acid, and it has a very important purpose in it. When I preach a message, I'm giving you RNA. I'm not giving you the whole Bible. I'm not giving you Genesis to Revelation in one message. I'm giving you a specific portion of the Bible, and it's usually from, like, let's say I'm going to preach out of the Old Testament. I'll preach out of the Old Testament. Well, I'm giving you a single strand of the entire book Now, the neat thing about it is that see the bases? They're all still there. The gospel is always there. It doesn't, listen, I know I'm going to make some people mad. It doesn't matter what page of the Bible you preach out of. You're going to find the gospel in it. If you preach Adam is a prototype of the gospel. If you preach Moses, there's a prototype there. If you preach David, there's a prototype there. It's all there, people. Okay, but you won't get the complete picture until you put them both together, just like your Old and New Testament together. So RNA usually is in the form of, you're going to like this, messenger RNA. When the preacher gets up to preach, he's the messenger. When an angel comes and delivers to John what's going to happen, he's the messenger. What was it? I think it was Isaiah talking about the messenger of the covenant. He's going to give you the message of it. When we preach what? Messages. A single strand of DNA is called RNA, and it's usually in the form of messenger RNA, because that very short selection of the entire DNA code has a specific purpose for it. It's been transcribed. In other words, a copy has been made of the DNA and kind of taken off to the side, and it's going to be sent to, let's say, the RNA polymerase, because it's going to read it, and then it's going to translate what it's reading so that it can make the protein and then fold the protein and then put the proteins together to be able to do in your body what needs to be done. You need to grow some new fingernails. Well, RNA, messenger RNA, has got that covered. If you need insulin in your body, or you need some more white blood cells, or you need, you know, like this time of year, you need more snot. You do not have enough mucus in your membranes. You need a lot more. We need to get the messenger RNAs out making proteins that will make snot. We need to fold them together right so it's nice and juicy and runny and cleaning the nose out and collecting all those dirty germs and stuff like that. That's your RNA. That's what it does. But here's the thing. When it's RNA, single strand, it does not contain thymine. It does not contain it. It has uracil. Adenine is there. Guanine is there. Cytosine is there. But thymine's not. This is really what makes the difference here. It's a compound. It's a, what was the word I read today? It's a polymer called uracil. And anytime you have a single strand, you will always have uracil. You'll never find thymine in a single strand. You will only find thymine in a double strand. Now, there's something about this. There's some things I don't understand yet, but there's something about this that really got my attention this morning, and I want to show it to you, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up a picture here. Okay, think of a single strand as like the Old Testament. Now, I want you to get this. What religion in the world only reads the Old Testament? Jews. Probably quite a few Hebrew Roots movement people. Because, and they may have this big old Bible with the renewed covenant in it. But the truth of it is, they spend most of their time studying Torah. And to them, those other books in the Bible, they're all just telling you to go back and keep the Torah. It's, in other words, to the Hebrew Roots people, the entire, from Matthew to Revelation, is all one big U-turn sign. Okay? You're going to read John. John will just tell you, turn around.
Nothing to see here. Go back to Deuteronomy and stay there. That's Hebrew roots people. That's Seventh Day. That's all the law Torah keepers out there. That, and including some of them who say, well, we're not Hebrew roots, but we do follow the Hebrew roots. We just don't want the terminology. Let me tell you something. The Jews, even Paul said this, the Jews, when they read the Old Testament, there's a veil. And they'll never see who's inside that veil. Now, remember, when it's RNA, you'll never have, listen to me now, when it's RNA, you'll never have this. You'll never have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You'll never have that in RNA. You'll have, as it turns out, in uracil, an incomplete, imperfect picture of thymine, but you won't have thymine. In the Old Testament, you have a lamb. But the Jews don't understand who that lamb is. In the Old Testament, you'll have a rock, but they don't understand who that rock is. In the Old Testament, you have a cornerstone, but they don't understand who that chief cornerstone is. They rejected it. In the Old Testament, you have a lawgiver, but they don't understand that law. That lawgiver, by the way, in the Old Testament, has a speech impediment, and they can't understand him. Whereas in the New Testament, Paul said, we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. You see what I'm saying? Uracil is actually, and I'm going to show you this, it's an incomplete picture of what John says in his gospel. But you'll get part of it. You won't get all of it. You still have adenine, guanine, cytosine. Now watch this. Jesus, in the four Gospels, he was made under the law. He was made, born of a woman, made under the law. And so in Jesus, you have the picture of the law. But in Jesus, you have the complete picture that the Old Testament, it just doesn't give it to you. It was hidden. It was kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now revealed. Now in these days, it's been revealed. Now the complete picture of what uracil could not ever show you is there. Okay? Man, I love this. So just remember this. As long as this is single, as long as it's the Old Testament, as long as the Jews keep reading this old book in those 22 letters, they won't get it. They won't get the truth of what this uracil is. Just, it's going to be transformed. This uracil is going to be changed. And when it's changed, then the veil comes off, and you and I do not have a veil on us when we read our Bibles. Because we see it as, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we're going, we know who the Word is. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Okay? Man, I love this. Uracil. Let me show you a picture of something. What are you looking at?
Hey, what are you looking at?
You're looking at, on your screen, uracil and thymine. See the difference? One of them is uracil and one of them is thymine. Both have oxygen up here. Both have, what would that be? NH, New Hampshire, right here.
Oxygen here, oxygen here. Once again, New Hampshire here, New Hampshire here. That is, of course, nitrogen and hydrogen. Okay? But right here is the lone and singular difference between thymine and uracil. This right here is actually, and again, I'm going to give you this, a phrase. I have no idea what it means. Okay? There is, from what I read, a methyl group. Not a methamphetamine cooker. A methyl group right here. There is something added to what amounts to uracil. Without this little arm sticking out here, and there's some more compounds here. Other than that, they look exactly alike. And what the deal is that uracil is transformed into thiamine. Think about it. The Old Testament is us in this body. But in this body, it lies our transformation to that new body that you and I are going to receive by inheritance. Where does thymine come from? Uracil. But it has something extra added to it that makes it unique and makes it different. So this is uracil. This is thiamine. There it is right there. Three parts hydrogen, one part carbon. They call it a methyl group. Okay, I don't know the significance of that. I haven't studied it. But look at the similarities here. So you've got a strand. You've got a strand in RNA. And it's let's say the code goes adenine, cytosine, cytosine, guanine, cytosine, 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 adenine, uracil. But when that single strand is going to become double-stranded, uracil has to be transformed. And I found out why. Uracil has to be transformed from uracil to thymine by the addition of three parts hydrogen, one part carbon. Okay? Here's why. Get ready for this one. This is where the poison takes place. You see, as I explained earlier, there is an enzyme that travels all up and down the DNA. And it reads it. And it's looking for, just by some chance, something happened and the DNA wasn't written out correctly. There's an error in it. One base is where it shouldn't be. The enzyme knows this. It'll read it and all of a sudden it'll go, it'll stop right here. And it'll say, hold on a second. This is agent 4 in section 482,927B. I've got an error to report here. Yeah, we got a uracil that shouldn't be here. This is DNA. We don't put uracil in DNA unless we change the rules. Did we? Did we start going back to uracil now? No, agent 4. Go ahead and correct that, if you would, please. All right, yeah, Roger. And so, Agent 4. Now, here's the thing. I want you to look at uracil here, down here. And then I want you to look at cytosine over here. Okay? Uracil and cytosine are very similar. Very similar. And what happens is, if for some reason uracil ends up not being transformed into thymine, when the two helixes are mated together, when Agent 4 comes riding his four-wheeler down the fence row here and he's found Uracil in the helix, in the double helix, he thinks that it's cytosine that lost its nitrogen and hydrogen stuff up here. See where my mouse is? That's what he thinks. The enzyme that wants to do the correction, when it sees uracil, it mistakes it for cytosine. So you know what it does? It takes the uracil and converts it to cytosine. But here's your problem. Cytosine, it should be thymine, right? Who does thymine mated to? Adenine. Cytosine does not mate with adenine. He only mates with guanine. Cytosine wakes up one day, finds Leah in his bed instead of Rachel. He's going, hey, it's not supposed to be here. The messenger, having converted uracil to cytosine instead of thymine, now there's a big error, big problem. Once this is changed to cytosine, I did not get this far. I only studied this for like 2.5 hours a day. Get off my back. Cytosine knows that it cannot wake up laying next to adenine. Cytosine knows that if guanine finds out that cytosine has been with adenine, cytosine is in big trouble. So cytosine, and I'm assuming the whatever Agent 4 did here to convert uracil to cytosine instead of thymine must now convert adenine to guanine. Now you have a problem. Now you have a big problem. Instead of a command to your dog to sit. No, I'm not going there. Now instead of a command to your dog to sit, your dog heard sip. And he goes over and starts drinking out of your soda can. Okay? And you're going, that's not what I told you. Oh, yes, you told me to sip. And that's what I'm doing. I'm sipping. Yep, oh, it's good. I'm glad you told me to sip because I was just going to sit down. But you told me to sip, so now I'm sipping. Do you see what I'm telling you? If uracil is ever found in the DNA double helix, the agent 4 that is supposed to read and correct the errors won't correct uracil to thymine. It'll correct it to cytosine. And now there's something wrong in the DNA, and it's going to code, either it's going to code for something that won't work, or it'll code for something that'll make poison in your body. And just turn it into cancer. Kill you. You see what I'm getting at? If your DNA book is not perfect, you're going to die. Your own body's going to kill you. That's what happens. Genetic defects happen all the time. Why? The DNA wasn't written correctly. By the way, whenever you have uracil present, it means you're still stuck in a single Bible situation, a single half, a single strand, Old Testament. The Old Testament is nothing more than the letter that killeth. With the addition of the New Testament, it's the Spirit that now giveth life. Okay? When you have them both together, when you just have the Old Testament, it's RNA and it's uracil and it's not complete. It doesn't have the big picture. When it joins together, uracil is now transformed to thiamine, and now the Spirit can give life. And now the picture's complete. You can read the Gospels and you read the New Testament. Now you go back and read the Old Testament and you find out that they're already mated together so perfectly, so well. So well written, so well designed. You just decide that this book is holy and you're not going to change it. That which is done away. See, here's what happens here. Uracil done away with. Transformed. We don't need it anymore because we have thymine now. Thymine's better. Thymine in the DNA means that when Agent 4 is reading and he's looking for errors, he won't find uracil in there and accidentally convert it over to cytosine and kill you. Thymine is what gives this whole thing life. That's why it's different than the other three. So uracil, done away with. Thymine takes its place. And I was just sitting thinking about that. In the Old Testament, you had an Ark of the Covenant. Where is it? Where is it? It's not in heaven. It's not in heaven. There is one in heaven. The book of Revelation. It's the Ark of the Covenant, but it's a new covenant, and it's in heaven, and it wasn't made on this earth. It wasn't made of earthly gold and earthly shittim wood, and it wasn't made by the hands of men. It was made by God himself. And it doesn't have golden, immovable angels. It has real angels covering it. So, uracil, the old Ark of the Covenant, done away with. Thymine, new Ark of the Covenant in heaven that's eternal and everlasting. In the Old Testament, you had a brazen serpent in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Where is it? One of the kings of Israel, I can't remember which one it was, they found out that the Jews had that same brazen serpent and they were worshiping it. They were offering incense to it. They called it Nehushtan, the serpent. They were honoring the serpent. They were, good grief, you Jews, what is wrong with you? They were worshiping the devil. And he took the thing and he ground it into powder. It doesn't exist. In John chapter 4, we have the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You see, everybody in the Old Testament, in Numbers 21, that looked on the brazen serpent, and they lived. You know what eventually happened? They died. They perished in the wilderness. Jesus is better. This old brazen serpent done away with. A new Son of Man lifted up. And if we look on him, we live. The old tabernacle doesn't exist anymore. Solomon's temple doesn't exist anymore. Herod's temple doesn't exist anymore. We have a better tabernacle built by Christ himself. The old tabernacle, done away with. Moses, the lawgiver, done away with. He's dead. He came in Matthew 17 to give his honor and his glory to a giver of a new covenant. Giver of new commandments. Better commandments. Do you know what they are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. The old covenant, done away. Better covenant, established. Jeremiah, let's read this. Get your King James Bible out. Jeremiah 31:31. For those of you who are being talked to by your cousin-in-law who's trying to get you, he found out that you call yourself a Christian. And in his mind, he's laughing because he's saying, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I bet they don't follow Torah. I bet they're not Torah observant. I bet they don't keep the law. What do you think? You don't do anything and you go to heaven? Is that what you think, huh? Well, we got to keep the law. Yeah, because I watched Rob Skiba, and I watched Monte Judah, and I watched 119 Ministries, and they all said, we got to keep the law. And Jim Staley, before he went to prison, he said we ought to keep the law. And they're trying to nail you. They're trying to get to you with law keeping. They're trying to get you to keep uracil. And what'll happen is that when you go and place yourself under the old covenant, which they never call it that. They never call it that. They call it Torah. You go and put yourself under that covenant, you're going to die. You're cursed. You're going to perish. Don't you know that? You have a better covenant. What I'm going to tell you to do, read Hebrews. Read Galatians. Jeremiah 31:31. It was even encoded. You see, watch this now. Remember, thymine is made from uracil with the addition of a few extra atoms. The new covenant actually is prophesied here, but with better things. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them even to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. Always. The old covenant, it's death. New covenant, it's life everlasting. Speaking of a new covenant, this is what we were dealing with last Thursday. The scientist decided like man's DNA. Man's DNA has got problems with it. Man's DNA is no good. Man's DNA is bad. Sounds like pastors. King James. We're King James anymore. Nobody speaks thee and thou. Nobody. They didn't have the right Greek manuscripts. They didn't have the right translation tools. They didn't have the new reformed, augmented, transformed, changed Greek and Hebrew concordances. We now have a better understanding of the original languages than they did. So we've translated the Bibles all completely differently than they did. See, that's what it sounds like. King James, bad. New Bibles, good. So science looks at DNA. Human DNA, bad. Our new synthetic DNA, good. So they've rewritten the genetic code. They added two new gospels, base pairs, to join everything together. And they got it to work. They started this probably 2010, 2012, 2013, 2014. They got the new base pairs X and Y. They couldn't get it to work. They couldn't get it. The poor E. coli bacteria. And here's why they were using E. coli. E. coli, some genetic scientists like to use flies, okay? Because flies breed pretty quickly. And once you make a genetic modification, all you need to do is wait a day or two and you got new flies. And then you can see what the modifications did, okay? Well, same thing with E. coli. It breeds pretty quickly. So let's figure out what we need to do here and do it, and then in a matter of a few days we can know whether or not, you know, we need to go back and change something. And I was explaining all of this on Thursday. And I'm trying to debate in my mind how much more I want to talk about today, and here's the reason, okay? And we can just say this is the devil. Number one, he's tried to, I mean, problem with sermon audio at the beginning of the broadcast and so on. But the pain in my back at times, it's overwhelming my brain. It is. It hurts. And it's just some days I have a hard time focusing over the top of that pain, and that's where I am today. So you pray for me. I appreciate it. What I don't get done today, we'll try to get done on this Thursday or whatever. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to come in, do another Watchman broadcast, another pure Bible study, and you just pray for me. I got a long road to go to try to figure out what's going on with my hips and my back. All right. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys letting me be me. Okay? Because I'm not Superman. I'm not super tough guy. I'm not the guy that gets her done no matter what. I have real life problems. Just like everybody else. Now, let me tie these two things together. Say that some mad evil genius scientist with his new base pair modifications figures out how to fix my back by changing my DNA. You can keep it. You can have it. I'm not going to do it. I have an aunt dying of Alzheimer's. She's been dying for quite a while. Her mom, my grandmother, my mom's mom, died of Alzheimer's. And my mom's scared to death she's going to have it because, you know, runs in families. It's genetic. What causes that? What can fix it? And I promise you, in 10 years, they're going to come out and say, within 10 years, they're going to come out and say, we can fix Alzheimer's. These two new base pairs, X and Y. Why? We don't know why. We're just going to do it. But we can fix Alzheimer's. All we need to do is transform your DNA. That's all we need to do. Don't do it, Pete. Don't do it. It's sort of like the people that approached you and said, well, we like to use the New American Standard Bible and the Revised English Version and the New English Version and the Holman Standard Bible and the new and all of the. We like to use all of the translations together. Yeah, do you use King James? No, we don't use King James because that's bad. King James bad. New translation's good. Don't fall for it. Don't do it. They rewrote the code, and I'll tell you what. That I was kind of getting into this Thursday. Let me get where I'm going with this. They took the E. coli bacteria, and in 2014, they added X and Y base pairs to adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. So now, instead of four gospels, you've got, let me hear some music here, six. What is the significance of that number? And does it even play into this? You bet it does. You could look at it like this. Instead of having two pairs, you now have three pairs. Okay? I did a video years ago called, what was it called? Three-stranded DNA? Triquetra? The triple helix. That's what it's called. If you do not have that, go to YouTube, try to find it, or call or write our office and say, Pastor Mike said, send us the triple helix, okay? And the ladies will take care of that. Please consider a donation that helps us with all of our expenses, helps us with our radio stations out in Kenya. Michael's going to come back this weekend from his work and labor out there. You pray for him. But anyway, the addition of a third pair, I think, falls right in with this idea of a triple helix. They're adding a third thing to the two pairs of bases that make up the code. When they first added this to the E. coli bacteria, the bacteria didn't do so well. And as the bacteria bred and made new little baby bacterias, E. coli's, they found that the E. coli were getting sick and very weak. And they discovered that the E. coli's DNA was programmed to reject anything other than what its own DNA recognized. Any kind of stranger. And immediately the E. coli went to work fighting that as if it was an invasion of some sort of strange virus or something like that. And rightfully so. I mean, look at it like this. We are the sheep of Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd. I know his voice when I hear it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If I call unto them, they will respond to me. Some other calls unto them, they're just going to go, meh. They're not going to respond. They know that that's a stranger. And a stranger doesn't do anything but to come in to kill and to destroy. And listen to me. Strangers are thieves and robbers. That's why your body rejects strangers. He rejects them. You know what? Let me talk about this for a minute. I've already got somebody who is angry with me, telling me that I need to cancel Pastor Mike Online live broadcast because I talk too much about my country and I talk too much about politics. And I just don't think that's right. Let me tell you something. I don't apologize to anybody for being born. I was born from a poor family, Arkansas River Basin, just outside of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, on the wrong side of the levee. You know what that is? Levee is a big wall, big mound that they build to protect farmland or a town or a city from flooding river waters. Our house was down a little dirt road. Like there was like three or four houses at the end of this road next to a cotton field. I remember that. And we were on the river side of the levee, which means if the river came up, tough luck for us. And we were poor. And my daddy hunted and he fished and he worked and he fed that poor family. And I can't apologize to anybody for where I was born. I am an American. I was born in Arkansas. That's my nativity, but I love the state of Missouri. I love my county I live in. I have friends here. I have family here. I went to school here. I've raised my family here. This is where we live. This is where we work. And I love the people of this county. I love the people that I see in town every day. Some of them I know. I've known them for years. There was a lady we saw at Walmart, and I told her, I said, and she had a Walmart uniform on. I said, ma'am, you don't know me. I said, but I know that you have worked here for a long time. And she has. She said, yeah, years this year. That's how long Lisa and I remember seeing her. I don't know what struck me, but 30 years ago, I saw her there. I know these people. I don't want a mosque built in Jefferson County, Missouri. Now, if you want to call me speech, if you want to call me whatever you want, if you want to call me Donald Trump, I don't care. I don't care what names you call me. I don't care how angry that makes you feel. I do not want a mosque in Jefferson County, Missouri. I've been to Kenya. I know what spirits accompany mosques, and I don't want them in my backyard, my front yard, my side yard. I don't want them here. I don't want a casino riverboat in Jefferson County, Missouri. And my friend is the county executive, Ken Waller. I've known him since high school. Christian man, conservative. He has fought consistently every bid to bring a casino riverboat to Jefferson County, Missouri, because we're right on the Mississippi River. Mississippi River is the eastern border of Jefferson County. And I don't want one, and he doesn't either. Do you know why? Because it will bring strange things to our county that we don't want. That's protectionist. And I support... You can get mad at me if you want. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is not breaking any of the laws of the United States of America. You know what he's doing? He's untying and unshackling those who have sworn an oath to protect our laws, Border Patrol agents, TSA security guards, who have vowed an oath to protect our borders and not let somebody in this nation who wants to harm this nation. What is wrong with that? Not a thing. And to the person who is angry with me, because I talk about my country, and as well, that takes away from your ministry. You're supposed to be a preacher. I am a preacher, and I'm telling you that your Bible is full of protectionism. Your Bible is full of building a wall. Your Bible is full of don't let that in. That's what your Bible is full of. And we've got people parading around in the streets of the United States of America wanting the president of the United States. He just swore an oath and said he would protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he knows and he realizes that once you allow a certain number of Muslims in your nation, they will transform this country to destroy the Constitution and put us under Sharia law. What is wrong with you people? Called protectionism, and I am all for it, because the poor E. coli bacteria, they recognize that base pairs X and Y didn't belong there, and they spent all their resources trying to kill it, trying to destroy it. So you watch this, you get wisdom from this. Are you ready for this one? In fact, I'm trying to remember here. They were back, what was it, Ezra and Nehemiah, they were building the wall around Jerusalem. You remember that? And these guys come up and said, oh, we love Jews. Jews are awesome. In fact, we all worship the same God. We all coexist, don't we? We would like to come and help you build your wall. We would like to come and help you. We got a bunch of guys and a bunch of money. Can we come and help you build a wall? The old boy looked at him and he said, let me tell you something. You have no place with my people. We don't worship the same God. This is our wall. It is meant to protect our people from, get ready, people like you. So you take you and your God and your money and all your junk and you go stuff it, and we're going to build a wall. And while I'm laying a brick with this hand, I got a sword in this one. Now, if you got something to say to me, you say it to my sword. They had intended to build that wall and to make up all the breaches that were in that wall to protect Jerusalem from all the people on the outside, because they said, we be God's peculiar people. Now you watch this. What the scientists did with the E. coli bacteria, There are people and politicians in this country that want us to do the same thing with our Constitution. Get ready. Because when the scientists realized that the E. coli's DNA was actually the culprit, when the scientists recognized that the E. coli's DNA was actually what was prohibiting the new base pairs of X and Y to thrive and be passed along from generation to generation, they said, well, we don't know what to do. I mean, we got to get X and Y in there, or we can't change anything. Listen to me now. The Constitution, the United States of America, remains as a solid rock that prevents bad people and bad things from happening to a free society. Likewise, your King James Bible acts as a solid rock that protects and defends the believer from bad people and bad spirits. Protects you. Your DNA is a solid rock that protects your body constantly from bad things that want to enter your body and kill you. And your DNA stands as a solid rock to prevent that from happening. So the genetic science said, what is this CRISPR thing we're hearing? Hey, Walt, come here. You know how we have a problem with the DNA and the X and Y? Yeah? I think I know a way. What are you going to do? Ever heard of CRISPR? Yeah, it's a little drawer in your refrigerator. You put lettuce in, it keeps it... No, not that CRISPR, you idiot. What do you don't? You don't read magazines? What do you don't? You don't watch Pastor Mike online? What is wrong with you? CRISPR. It edits DNA. Yeah. Well, what we could do is CRISPR. Insert it into the E. coli's DNA. Have CRISPR take out in the E. coli DNA what it is, what it's looking for when it finds X and Y that makes it want to kill it and kill itself. Yeah. We take that out of the E. coli, fix it so that its own DNA doesn't recognize X and Y as being alien, and it'll accept it. You know, I think that might just work. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They used a CRISPR editing system. They went in and rewrote the E. coli's DNA, the solid rock. The solid rock that prevents X and Y from being accepted by the E. coli, the solid rock. They put a breach in the wall. They took out the part of the E. coli's DNA, recognized X and Y base pairs as alien and a stranger and to be destroyed. They took it out, made a breach in the wall, so that when they injected X and Y base pairs into the DNA of the E. coli, the E. coli's DNA did not have the coding necessary to reject it. So it accepted it. All we need is for a judge somewhere to say, we find that not allowing Syrian refugees in without vetting is unconstitutional, and we're changing the meaning of the Constitution, and we will let all of the Syrian refugees in that liberals and Starbucks and California want to let in. By the way, if California wants to be known as a sanctuary state, I am all for it.
those of you who love the Lord, who love the Bible, who love the Constitution, move to Missouri. Let all the rich liberals own California, and then let them bring in all of the illegal terrorist best gangs, drug cartels, you name it. Let them bring them into California and feed them for the next 50 years. Give them California health care. Give them California pizza with pineapples on it. Change your language to Spanish Arabic, and you can have all of the illegal refugees that you want. We, the rest of America, will take the legal ones. And we'll train them, we'll teach them English, and we'll give them decent paying jobs. And we'll let them find the American dream by hard work and putting themselves to work. You can have all the illegal ones you want, California. You just kind of build a wall around. I say let's don't build a wall around Mexico. Let's build a wall around California. All right. Well, I think I've done enough damage for today. I gotta go lay down. You pray for me. I mean it. I just pray for me, okay? And pray that I get some kind of relief from the pain that I'm in. Right? Maybe they can cut my body off from like the waist down. Okay. Anyway. Tomorrow, hopefully, your Bible study. Be out. New Watchman broadcast. We're fixing the old one. Had some audio problems. Had the tail end of it wasn't on there. We're fixing that, too. And just keep me in your prayers, okay? I can really use it. Lord bless you. Seriously, I don't need that. Don't push a button, and I'm not going to be here anymore.